Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Canada, and we're in the middle of a federal election. So, of course, healthcare is an issue. This is an issue that manifests in different ways across the country. Long wait times in some areas, crowded hospitals in others, not enough family doctors in just about everywhere. It varies from province to province. But at the heart of it is the same thing, fear. Fear that you won't be able to get an appointment quickly enough for a worrisome symptom. Fear that the wait for your child to see a specialist will make them worse. Fear of hallway medicine that leaves some patients with serious health issues lying on gurneys in the corridors, waiting for a doctor with a spare minute. That happens everywhere, but if you want to understand what the heart of a healthcare crisis sounds like, there is a video clip from earlier this year that might help you.
I am a 33-year-old mother. I went undiagnosed with anal cancer for 2 years because I did not have access to a family doctor.
You can hear the fear and the anger in this woman's voice. She says Nova Scotia is in the midst of a full-on healthcare crisis, and there are currently hundreds of thousands of Nova Scotians without family doctors who agree. And whichever party can speak to them, can ease that fear just a little bit. There are 11 seats in Nova Scotia for the taking and more in the rest of Atlantic Canada where this is also an issue. The Liberals took every single one of them in 2015. But when you listen to that voice, it's hard to see the same thing happening again. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Today, our Lay of the Land series goes to, you guessed it, Nova Scotia, to talk with someone who talks with a lot of people. Rick Howe is the host of The Rick Howe Show on News 95.7 in Halifax. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for helping us walk through what matters on the ground to Nova Scotians.
No problem. It's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks.
I can imagine. So how, in general, how's democracy going out there?
Well, it's hard to gauge right now what people are thinking, what people are saying because of, the whole issue with Justin Trudeau and the blackface, brownface scandal last week and the impact that might have on how people might vote. A lot of people scratching their heads now who were prepared perhaps earlier to support the Liberals, now wondering, okay, based on that, do we want to continue to vote for the Liberals? Or if not, who do we turn our votes to? So there's a lot of flux right now with the voters here in this province as they try to figure out, because if you recall, in 2015, the Liberals swept all 11 seats here in Nova Scotia. In fact, they swept all 32 seats in Atlantic Canada, in Newfoundland, PEI, New Brunswick, and here in Nova Scotia. The expectation is that they won't be able to do that again. So the question being asked here in Nova Scotia is, of our 11 ridings, how many are basically susceptible? How many are winnable for the Conservatives? And if you look at the numbers, there are at least three or four ridings here in Nova Scotia where the Conservatives could make and should make a real gain.
Well, I was going to get to it later and do the issues first, but since you mentioned it, tell me about how the brownface and blackface scandal is going out in Nova Scotia in particular, because your province has a long and rich history of Black Canadians and conversations about racism.
Surprisingly, a number of people, including people of color, have come out in defense of Justin Trudeau, saying that this was an incident that happened, 18, 19 years ago, and it's time to move on. There have been other cases of similar infractions, I guess we'll call them, where you know, the people have been forgiven. And, you know, we do every day, we do what we call an open hour on my radio show, where just people could call in and talk about whatever the heck they want to talk about. And there's, of course, been a lot of discussion about this whole brown face, black face scandal. But again, surprisingly, the edge, I'd have to give the edge in caller support to Justin Trudeau. Most people, it seems, right now anyway, seem prepared to forgive him. But as I said, there's a growing number as well of people who once voted Liberal, now having second thoughts, but aren't sure where to park their votes, whether they want to turn to the NDP or the Greens, or they want to ensure that maybe the Conservatives don't get elected, so maybe they're going to stick to the Liberals. So there's a lot of decision-making between now and October 21st for many Nova Scotians.
Well, why don't you tell me how the Liberals came to sweep the province and Atlantic Canada in general in 2015? What were the promises they made that really seemed to resonate with people out east, and did they deliver on them?
Yeah, it wasn't so much the promises made. This, to me, was more of an anti-Stephen Harper vote. That Harper's had worn out his welcome for a lot of people here in Atlantic Canada. The veterans issues, for example, closing down those Veterans Affairs offices, that really struck a chord with many Nova Scotians. And in fact, if you know, Nova Scotia has a proud record of being engaged with the Canadian military. And that really, that decision by the Conservatives to close down those Veterans Affairs offices really struck a chord with a lot of Nova Scotians. So I think this was more in 2015, not necessarily a vote for Justin Trudeau, but a vote against Stephen Harper. And they parked their votes with Trudeau. I mean, Nova Scotia and Atlantic Canada has always had a rich history with the Liberal Party of Canada. But in 2015, it just seems to me anyway that most voters voted Liberal just to get rid of Harper.
Over the last 4 years, the last 2 weeks, maybe notwithstanding, because there's obviously all sorts of factors at play, what have been the main issues that Atlantic Canada has looked to the federal government for help with?
Well, obviously, the economy. Atlantic Canada struggles with economic matters. So that is, of course, always important issue. And I had a couple of guests on the show today, astute political minds, and both agreed that when it comes time to vote, there could be any number of issues out there, but people will vote with their pocketbooks. People will vote, I think, with their mind on the economy. But obviously, healthcare is a huge issue here. We've had a number of emergency rooms that have been closed down on a regular basis. Over the weekends, especially because of a lack of doctors, we have a waiting list of people who don't have a family doctor waiting to get a family doctor. That number varies from anywhere from 50,000 to 150,000 people. So that obviously is a huge issue as well. So I think those are the two big ones, the economy and healthcare. But then again, you've got the question here, based on some of the problems that the Liberals have experienced with their term in office here, SNC-Lavalin, the brown face scandal. Those are our issues today that, again, will have a sway. We'll have some kind of say in how people are going to vote.
Explain the extent of the health care issue to me a little bit more, because I'm not familiar with the practice of closing down some emergency rooms on the weekend. And what does that do to the rest of the system? And give me a sense, because one of the reasons we do this series is because we're talking to you from downtown Toronto, where there are a dozen hospitals within driving distance, and maybe we don't kind of grasp the severity out there.
Yeah, this is not a problem in urban Halifax. I mean, we have 440,000 people roughly.
Right.
And we have some first-class medical facilities, and that hasn't been an issue here. But in some of the rural areas on the South Shore, for example, or the Eastern Shores, references that we use here to describe sections of this province, more rural areas of this province where it has become harder and harder for various communities to find doctors. A number of doctors have been retiring. There are a number of other doctors who are poised to retire. And the Nova Scotia Health Authority has not been able to find the doctors to replace those who are retiring or who are about to retire. So that's resulted in a situation where many emergency rooms in some of these smaller rural hospitals can't find doctors or even nurse practitioners to man the ERs, especially in the overnight hours and on weekends too. So that is forcing people in these rural communities to travel hours down the road to get to a facility that does provide the health care. I mean, we're talking here, you know, again, some of the very small rural areas, but some of the towns in this province as well, towns like Shelburne, population of about, what, 5,000 to 6,000, 7,000. Bridgewater and population very similar to that. Some of these towns are also experiencing these difficulties, and it all boils down to a lack of physicians and an inability. Well, this is not just a problem in Nova Scotia. The ability to find doctors is a problem that's right around the globe right now, but it's especially hitting home here.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
In Nova Scotia.
How present have the federal leaders or the parties been on the ground in Nova Scotia about this issue or any others? Have you seen any FaceTime yet in the campaign? Do people feel like they're being courted?
Well, Jagmeet Singh, the NDP, was here yesterday, in fact, and held a town hall on healthcare and got a good crowd. Over 200 people showed up. And he, you know, made the NDP promises about he's going to make sure that he'll provide access for all Canadians to have a doctor. Which is reminiscent of a promise that our premier made in two election campaigns ago that continues to haunt Stephen McNeil. Stephen McNeil promised that he would have a doctor for every Nova Scotian. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we have upwards of perhaps as many as 150 Nova Scotians who don't have a family doctor today. So that has come back to bite Stephen McNeil and his Liberal government here in Nova Scotia in the behind. But Jagmeet Singh, as I mentioned, was here yesterday and held that healthcare town hall. Elizabeth May is in town later today and, in fact, tomorrow as well. She has alluded in New Brunswick yesterday to mental health being a big issue, and it is a huge issue here as well. We haven't heard yet from, not that I recall off the top of my head right now, Andrew Scheer or Justin Trudeau in regards to this, but they have, a bigger issue on their hands, and that is electability right now.
Tell me a little bit about how angry people are about the healthcare issue in particular, because we don't see a ton of news from Nova Scotia, but there was a viral video of someone confronting the premier, I believe.
Yeah. Inez Ryderham was her name, and she was a cancer patient who just decided that she'd had enough. She couldn't get the kind of care that she felt she needed. She was being, basically tossed back and forth as the bureaucracy tried to figure out what to do. And she just lost it one day and recorded a video that I think highlighted what many Nova Scotians were saying about healthcare.
To the Premier of Nova Scotia, I dare you to take a meeting with me and explain to me and look into my eyes and tell me that there is no healthcare crisis in my province of Nova Scotia. I dare you.
Our premier has denied that healthcare in Nova Scotia is in a crisis. But everyone I've talked to in our open hours and during discussions on our radio program about healthcare, outside of government, pretty much everybody thinks that we are in a healthcare crisis here in Nova Scotia and that the government has basically not been able to deal with this. And this is going to be Stephen McNeil's Achilles heel come the next provincial election in about 2 years' time, because the opposition, conservatives, under a new leader, Tim Houston, and the NDP here provincially under Gary Burrell, are both making healthcare a huge issue. They are striking a chord with many Nova Scotians, and the thought right now is if we had an election today, that the Liberal government would be tossed from office on the healthcare issue alone. Wow. So this is a huge issue, and a lot of Nova Scotians are very angry. Even those who have family doctors. I talking to an individual yesterday who's got a bit of a problem with a foot, and called her doctor to see if she could get an appointment. 3 weeks she has to wait in order to get in to see her family doctor. Now, we do have walk-in clinics, mind you, so that's her next alternative. But there's just, an idea of how the number of Nova Scotians who have family doctors are using those family doctors to the point where it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks for someone to get an appointment just to have a foot checked. It's outrageous.
You mentioned earlier that there are, I think you said 3 or 4 ridings that could be in danger. Whereabouts are they and what's at play there?
We got one that's called South Shore St. Margaret's that Bernadette Jordan, minister in the Trudeau cabinet, is the current MP. That has been traditionally a conservative riding, but it's again in 2015 when they swept the whole region. She was the winner there. In a couple of Cape Breton seats as well. In fact, there were 3 provincial conservative politicians who resigned their seats at Province House to run federally for the Conservatives.
Interesting.
2 of them in Cape Breton and 1 of them in West Nova. West Nova, again, has traditionally been a conservative riding that the Liberals picked up last time. They've got a very popular MLA, a conservative MLA. Well, he's now resigned from Province House, but he's running now. His name is Chris D'Entremont. He's running for the Conservatives in West Nova and stands a very good shot at winning that seat. The 2 MLAs or former MLAs in Cape Breton likely will win both their seats. So there's at least 3. And then there's George Canyon in Central Nova, which is, if you recall, that's Peter McKay. Before Peter McKay, his father, Elmer McKay, is riding. George Canyon, the country and western singer, was brought in, and he's a native Nova Scotian who's been away as part of his performances. He's been living in Alberta, but he's back now in the province and running for the Conservatives in Central Nova. And again, that's been a traditional Conservative seat as well. So there's at least 4 seats that the Conservatives have a good chance of picking up. And depending, again, on the mood of the electorate come October 21st, it could be 1 or 2 more. But right now in Metro Halifax, that had traditionally been before 2015, been NDP ridings. We had 3 of the 4 seats here in Halifax that represented by the NDP. They're all wiped out by the Liberals in 2015. And the Liberals still strong here in the city. So you're looking at those at least 4, maybe 5 ridings in Nova Scotia out of 11 where the Conservatives could make some gains here.
So we talked about the economy and health care. We wanted to know if there are any other issues to you that stand out as something that Nova Scotians might care about as much or more than the rest of the country. In particular, I guess I wanted to ask about the climate crisis, just because we talked to your colleague Sheldon a couple of weeks ago when Dorian hit, and just how devastating it can be quickly.
And it is a big issue. And of course, this is a week is the call to climate action culminating in the climate strike on Friday. Now, at the rally on Friday, this past Friday, at City Hall to kick off the Climate Action Week, only about 200 people showed up. I had one of the organizers on my radio show today, and she's hoping for a much bigger turnout on Friday as part of this global national climate strike. In the open hours, this has very much been a topic of concern, a topic of discussion by Nova Scotians. But they kind of feel, I don't know, that there are other pressing issues, you know, day-to-day life, struggling, people living paycheck to paycheck kind of thing. Those are bigger issues for a lot of people than climate change. But I think more and more people are starting to recognize that if we don't do something about the climate, that perhaps as some of the, some of the predictions, that we may only have 10, 12 years before we can't turn back the clock at all. So I think there's a growing realization that something has to be done about climate. But at the same time, I think people are more concerned about making ends meet paycheck to paycheck.
What could happen in the next month or so before the vote that could really make a difference in terms of how Nova Scotia votes?
Well, another scandal, of course. The Liberals with SNC-Lavalin and the most recent, the brown face scandal and some of the other baggage that is attached to this party. Again, people are in a forgiving mood for the most part, it seems. But if there's something else that comes up, there's a whole question of the ethics involved in being government and questions about the Liberal government and their ethical issues and their ethical failings, I guess. And I think that people right now may be in a bit of a forgiving move. But if more revelations come to light, I think that will be the end of the Liberals. And the Liberals need to hang on to a majority of their ridings, their seats here in Atlantic Canada, if they want to form a majority government. Because you look at the situation in Quebec, where the Bloc now is making a bit of a comeback. They're neck and neck in Ontario with the Conservatives. So the Liberals have to hang on to the vast majority of seats here in Atlantic Canada if they want to be the majority government on October 21st. But if there's another scandal, even hint of a scandal, that calls that into question.
That was kind of going to be my last question, is of the 11 seats in your province, if we're looking back on election night or the day after, and the Conservatives are in power federally, what's happened to those 11 seats? You know, how many of them could the Liberals afford to lose and still hold on to a good chunk of territory?
Again, if the Liberals can hang on to at least six or seven of those 11 seats, then they'll be in fine form because they're going into Quebec. They expect to pick up some gains, perhaps at the expense of the NDP. And then we'll see where the chips fall after that.
That's a pretty thin margin compared to sweeping every single seat.
No question. And that's not going to happen this year. In 2015, again, if the Liberals can hang on to at least half of those seats, I think they'd be happy with that.
Thanks, Rick. Look forward to seeing what happens over the next month.
Yes, we all are. Thanks very much.
Rick Howe of The Rick Howe Show, appropriately enough, on News 95.7 in Halifax. And that was The Big Story. If you want more, including the rest of our Lay of the Land series, go to thebigstorypodcast.ca and search for that. You can also find us on Twitter, the same place we always are, at TheBigStoryFPN. And if you happen to be in your podcast app and you happen to be looking for something to rate and review, please consider us. We'd be grateful. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.